Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, and He loves you. Opportunity to get together and study your word. Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you. God, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that all of this would be done to your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And the last time we were here, we were studying in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, and just going over of the proof of the kingdom, and it was doing a transition between someone building their house on the sand and on the rock. And it's good to know that when you build your house upon the rock, which is Christ Jesus, Elijah, that when the storms of life rage, amen. You won't have a devastating fall. And none of us, Dr. G, are exempt from the storms of life.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we are in our earthly existence on this world,
amen.
We will not be exempt from the hurricanes of life.
Amen.
Some point in your life, you might experience a Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You might experience a Sandy, a Hugo. You might experience some ups and downs. But as long as you have built your house on a sure foundation, somebody ought to say amen. That the wind can blow.
Mm.
Amen. And the storm can rise. But if you can hold on, God will see you through the storm.
Amen.
Somebody's feeling that tonight.
Mm.
Somebody's going through a storm right now.
Mm.
But they're standing on the rock, the solid rock.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus was teaching in Matthew. And what happened is if we go down, we left off Matthew 28. Matthew 7, verse 8 says, and came to pass when Jesus had ended these things, people were astonished at his doctrine. In other words, Jesus talked like they had never been taught before. And in verse 29, it says, so he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So he wasn't just giving lip service. But he was speaking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And see, that makes a difference. Is when you're under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's not just Charlie Brown.
Amen.
This is something that can speak to your situation. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
But every day I need God to speak to my situation.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Yeah. I mean to speak with authority.
All right.
Not no wishy-washy stuff. Well, try this or try that.
Mm-hmm.
I need the word of God to decree and declare it. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That this is what thus said the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You got a whole lot of false prophets out here.
Mm.
Talk about it.
Prophesying a whole bunch of yin yang, up, down, sideways, don't mean nothing. When God has already wrote about your situation.
Amen.
Amen. He already wrote about it.
Amen.
I don't need you to keep prophesying to me.
There you go.
Amen. Dr. G.
No, I agree with you. You know, it was somewhere, I think it was on one of those sites that I check out every morning, and it was a warning sign about folks sugarcoating the gospel and how we don't need that in this life. And I agree with you. You know, we got too many false prophets out there. That, you know, they speak the word to make people feel good. And, you know, they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. They don't want to step on anybody. So that word, especially we as sinners, that word has got to cut sometimes.
Amen.
It's got to step on our toes to get us to thinking. And if it's not doing that, then it's not doing its job.
Amen. So the fluff, Sheila D, or the prophecy, I see. That's all they do is prophesy.
Hello.
Hello. You're going to prophesy more than with the Bible.
Amen.
The Bible's already written to tell you what to do. Lord have mercy.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to prophesy that the sun come up today and the sun going to go down.
Wow.
Okay.
Come on now.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen. And, you know, you're right. And sometimes they prophesy so much that it takes the focus off of God. And puts the focus on the person.
Amen.
And then that person starts to feel like they're the ones that are and not the
Amen.
Lord. I mean, I was the one that God would wake me up in the middle of the night and reveal things to me.
Amen.
But I'll tell my husband in secret.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to fruition,
yeah.
then I'm like, okay, Lord, that's
there you go.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to run around and tell that God has given that gift just like our mom used to have.
Amen, amen.
That same gift that in the night the Lord will wake me up and give me things.
Amen.
But I'm not going to run around and say, you know what the Lord told me about you? No.
But when you see Jesus spoke with authority,
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying is the word is the authority. And so what we say doesn't line up with the word.
Exactly.
We just talking.
Right.
And so we need to spend more time, know we're stepping on toes. We need to spend more time with already the written word.
Hello.
Amen. So when someone says they're speaking a word,
mm-hmm.
we can know if that word is from God. From of
right.
God.
Right. Well, the Bible says try to see it by
God. You understand what I'm saying? But you got too many people out here speaking stuff, but it's not under the authority of the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if people don't know the word, then they can be led astray into believing in false prophet, false God. That's when the occult,
Amen.
And all these things crop up is because people are not taking their time to study to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed but can rightly divide the word of truth. But we spend too much time figuring out what's going to happen on Empire.
All right, now.
The Cowboy game, the Redskins, Giants, and Eagles.
Mm.
Come on now, NFC East.
Mm.
Whether the Yankees made it, the Mets made it, the Dodgers, or whoever.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen.
What Bookie and them said, what's on the latest Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Step on some toes.
Amen.
But can't nobody find the book of
Jeremiah in the Bible.
Come on.
Some people don't know if it's Old Testament or New.
Well,
Dr. G.
You know, and it's a shame. I was just sitting here thinking, you know, and when Jesus spoke, he spoke with not only the authority, but he had the anointing of God that as he spoke, it grabbed your attention.
Yeah.
Whereas when you talk about the scribes, you know, we got a whole bunch of them out here today.
Mm-hmm.
They're speaking, but it's like, you know, they're just saying the same old thing, mm-hmm. same old monotone tone. You know when they're going to get happy.
Yeah.
You know when they're going to do their spin. So it's a routine. Yeah, no.
Amen.
They're going to keep it real.
Amen.
But that's the importance of getting in the Word on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So that you can recognize the anointed Word.
Amen.
You can recognize the authority. And nobody will leave you straight. You can sit down and you can listen to Oprah.
Come on.
You can listen to Dr. Phil.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to all these folks. What's the girl's name? I can't remember her name. But you can listen to all these folks. And they'll tell you their spin.
Mm-hmm.
Have people going based upon what they say.
That's right.
Instead of based upon what the authority of the Word says.
Right, right. And then that's how the enemy can lead people astray, because they're listening with their ears. The things that they want to hear or what man is saying and not knowing what God is saying. And people fall for that.
It's sad. And they'll DVR it and they'll have so-and-so as the authority on this.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Amen.
Hello. Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be careful to realize that the proof of the kingdom is the word of God and God telling us how to live it. We don't need a whole bunch of prophecy for Jesus to tell you to love your neighbor as yourself.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
More people need to hear Hello. That, though. There wouldn't be so much killing and fighting and bullying in this world if people really studied that and took that to heart. And I'm not just talking about child bullying. You
Amen.
Have you have corporate bullying.
Amen.
You have
church bullying.
Church bullying.
Come on. Tell us.
You have grown folks that are bullying
mm-hmm.
people, but if everybody would kind of listen and learn how to live this word and just took something as simple as that to heart.
Amen. And again, if we would look at this is the kingdom life, this is what God wants, is to get in his word and he says, look at his word, this is what my word says, this is who I should be following, and he lays it out. We will be a whole lot further along than where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to transition to chapter 8. He says the proof of the kingdom life is that he gives us life-changing experiences with him when you have a personal relationship with
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
Where you know without a shadow of a doubt that it was nobody but God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that again.
Say it again.
When you have a personal relationship with God, God will bring you through an experience where
mm-hmm.
nobody, no man, no
mm-hmm.
woman can take credit for it.
That's right.
Where you know that it was nobody but God.
Amen.
And that's when your faith really takes root.
Amen.
Where you can look around and man can take credit for a whole lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And does.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Like I said, he can't make a day though.
Yeah.
He can't make a day. He'll try to take credit for the knowing. He has the audacity every morning to wake up and predict the weather. And gets it wrong half the time,
right.
Majority of the time.
Right.
But he'll keep trying again. I'm going to predict the weather. But if you have a relationship with God, and this is what makes you get to the point where it's like, well, I don't care what nobody says. I believe God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have that moment in your
mm-hmm.
life.
Yeah.
A moment in your life where everybody else is flapping their jaw. And say, well, you can flap your jaw
Amen.
And
mm-hmm.
do it that way, but right. I know God
Amen.
Right.
and what he's done for
mm-hmm.
me.
That's right.
Somebody need to hoop and holler and run around the room tonight.
If I had the energy, I would.
Somebody needs to know that it was God that made a way for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody need to know that it was God that turned the situation around.
Mm-hmm.
Can I go here? Because I'm going to go here for
go
myself.
Ahead.
I know it was God that healed my body.
All right.
Come on, man.
When I had lumps in my throat and
yeah.
didn't talk.
Yeah.
When my lung collapsed, yeah. amen, and I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Amen.
So whatever you say, oh, God is this God. Nah, I know him for myself.
That's
all right.
Right.
There you go. And so what Jesus says, there's a proof of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that calls themselves a Christian should know that they have some proof somewhere along the line.
Amen.
That push comes to shove, that you're going to stand up sort of like them folks that was in Oregon,
mm-hmm.
where they stood up and said, are you religious or do you know Christ or are you a Christian?
Yeah.
And they said, yes, I do, with a gun in your face.
Hello. Hello.
Dealer G?
Well, I mean, you know, the proof is in your life, and all of us can look back on our lives and know that it's nobody but God. And what's so awesome about it is that no matter what we've done, because, you know, sometimes we'll get too busy for God
mm-hmm.
and get to doing our thing, and then something will happen, so he'll be right there with us.
Right.
And he's the one that's consistent, continuously there all the time. Man can be wishy-washy.
Uh-oh.
When you're up, they're going to be up with you.
Yeah.
When you're down, they may or yeah. may not.
Amen.
You
got money in your pocket.
But God will, he'll pull out miracles out. And you're right, where it's like, there was nobody but the Lord.
Amen.
I just experienced that this past week. I was like, that was nobody but
nobody
the Lord.
Nobody but the Lord.
He took something that was like, why is this happening? Why am I feeling that? I've never had this situation before. But he had to allow it to happen so he could point out another issue.
Amen.
And if he hadn't allowed that to happen, I wouldn't
have
found
out the issue.
Mm-hmm. Found out the other issue, and he's like, okay, now that you see it, this is how we're going to take care
exactly.
of it. And
what?
Took care of it. Man can't do that.
Nope.
No doctor, no nurse, no my parents, my mom and dad can't
do
it. It was nobody but the Lord.
And when you look at these next experiences, guys, talk about it in Matthew, the 8th chapter, beginning of verse 1. These people ran across things that was never done before.
Amen.
And when we look at chapter 8, verse 1, it says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitude followed him. This is following Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 2, it said, and behold, came a leper and worshiped. Oh, my goodness. So here's Jesus. Amen. With all these, I would call the people that call themselves the seed of Abraham,
mm-hmm.
they had this arrogance about them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because I'm the seed of Abraham, I have a certain stature in place in the kingdom of God. And here comes this leper. Amen. And he said, I want to worship God too.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many of us, come on now,
mm-hmm.
if we have on our, you know, Stacey Adams.
Watch out, man. Watch out.
We got on our fancy clothes on, go to church, Sunday meeting clothes on, have a leper come in the door.
Mm.
How many of us would move to the other side of the aisle? I ain't got no problem with you, but I ain't going to sit next to you. But we know Jesus as a healer.
Yeah.
And can heal all manner of, what, sickness and disease.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so here we say in verse 2, it says, and behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.
Mm.
Now, the record, if you go back and study it, the record said that there was only one person at that time in Israel had been healed of that, and that was Miriam.
Mm-hmm.
When she flapped her jaw about Moses, God had to put her back in her place. Y'all can dig a little bit further than that. But God healed her from leprosy. And so here is this person, this leper, amen, that is having an encounter with God, and the encounter came when they were worshiping God.
Mm.
Come on now.
Mm.
And that was so real to me, Dr. G, is that God will honor our faith and our commitment
That's
to
right.
him and worship.
Right. Amen.
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 And even in your most worst condition, come on now, instead of turning to Johnny Walker or whatever your brand is, amen, whatever your funny cigarette is or whatever
That's
that
right.
powder fell out in Vegas, used to play for the Lakers, turned to some powder and
mm-hmm.
funny cigarettes and drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now he's in a coma.
Yeah.
But he couldn't find peace and money on the court and none of that. And all these women had to take 10 doses of Viagra.
Mm.
And now he's in a coma.
Yeah.
But addiction is like that. But if you can come to God and whatever your condition is, that's why we can't cast judgment on anybody.
That's right.
And if you can come, and if God can heal this leper, amen?
Mm. Amen.
God can heal any sickness or addiction.
That's
amen.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
But our mind has to say that I'm going to worship God because I know the one who can do something about my condition.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to shut up and let y'all
Well, but you know, with that whole thing, you know, you've got to have a mindset that I'm going to worship the Lord irregardless. And Sheila C. keeps looking back at me because the last few weeks,
mm-hmm.
I've been attacked by the enemy in every kind of way you can imagine.
Come on now.
Stiff neck,
mm-hmm.
this morning eye trouble. But each Sunday, I had already made up in my mind, I'm going to church, and I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to preach.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, when you make up
in your mind
like that,
yeah.
that pain or whatever illness that you have, God removes it
mm-hmm.
while you're worshiping him.
Hallelujah.
And you don't feel a thing.
Lord
but you've got to have a made-up mind. Your heart and mind got to be there that I'm going to worship. I'm going to give God his
Amen.
Irregardless.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I got one of our ministers. He said, "Whatever it takes."
Amen.
Whatever it takes. And here's this leper, and the custom at the time is that you had to say, "I'm unclean."
That's right.
Unclean.
Mm-hmm.
You had to speak unclean. You had to let folk you was unclean. Amen. Mm-hmm. But I might be unclean, but I'm still going to the
All
King.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Lord have mercy.
Amen.
And the reason why I worship the King is because you can't do nothing about my situation.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm unclean and I can come to you, but you can't do nothing about my situation. Nothing has ever been done in Israel before like this. Is anybody waiting for God to do something that man can't do? Is anybody looking for God to do the impossible in
mm-hmm.
your life?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody better shout a scream up in here tonight.
He does.
Amen.
He does.
And see, when God touched that man, let's go to verse or whoever it was. When he said, and worship him, verse 2, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou can make me clean.
Amen.
In other words, I got belief,
That's
my
right.
faith,
that
God,
faith.
Whatever it is, if anybody ever took something mm. to God.
All right.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
God, it looks like it's impossible.
Yeah.
Right now. But I'm not walking by sight.
Mm.
But I'm walking by faith.
Amen.
But you know the awesome part in that scripture where he says, and worship him.
Yes.
In other words, he didn't just come out with his hand open
yeah.
and say, Lord, gimme, 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 yeah. gimme. He pretty much just basically said, Lord, I give my all, I surrender
yeah.
all, I glorify you, hallelujah, I praise you. He worshiped him first.
Amen. Amen.
And through that, then it says, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, if
yeah.
it be in your will,
mm-hmm.
again,
your will.
I'm not telling you, Lord, you got to
yeah.
do this.
Yeah.
He said, if it's in your will, thou can't make me clean. Then I know it. I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe that it's in your will. You're going to heal me. But
mm.
if it's not, it's not your will to heal me.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to worship
I'm still
going to
worship.
Amen.
He had the Shadrach,
mm-hmm.
Meshach, and Abednego thing.
Hello.
Bless the Lord at all times.
He said that even if you don't, I know you ain't.
Right.
Lord,
that's what he's
mercy.
Saying
Amen.
In there. And he's saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Amen.
But you know what? Just to interject something, you know, the thing that gets me, folk who don't need a healing, appear to be okay, but they come to church, but their focus is not on God. And they're doing everything but
yeah.
worshiping him.
Yeah.
That bugs me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like you said, it's almost like we take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Take it for granted and that we're going to be able to inhale and exhale.
Amen.
That involuntary inhale and
mm-hmm.
exhale, or that those valves in the heart are going to keep going back and forth, back
Amen.
And forth. Or the stimuli in the brain, the electrical functions are going to keep working.
Right. And it's similar to all of us on our jobs. When we go to our jobs, we have to focus.
Amen.
We have to focus and concentrate to do what we have to do. And when we're in church, our focus should be on God.
Amen.
We should be praising and glorifying Him, especially when the word is coming forth.
Amen.
Because that's God speaking to you directly.
Amen.
Through someone.
Exactly.
But you can't receive it unless you're in it and you say, okay, Lord, I'm a blessing.
Amen.
Somebody was sharing with us yesterday on prayer service. Said, you know what? And the person knew exactly which worship services they were, and she's like, and I missed it. And that's somebody that when they're there,
yes,
they're expecting to receive that blessing.
Yes.
Actually attentive and digesting God's word. They're not just going through the motion.
Amen.
And God knows when you're going through the motion. You may think you're fooling Him just
because
you just showed up.
You ain't fooling God.
But you have to worship Him with all your mind, body,
mm-hmm,
and spirit to the point that you have that relationship with Him. So it's like the love of your life when you're not around it.
Amen.
You're like, oh, I miss it.
Amen. Exactly. And so this is the place where God says, and He's talking about the proof of the, how He's exhibiting power. We have to yield ourselves, taking ourselves off the throne. Everybody wants salvation. We want Jesus to be our Savior, but we don't want Him to be Lord.
Mm.
See that the two go together. He's Lord and Savior.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
He's at the same time. But a lot of times in our walk, we want the Savior, but we don't want the Lord. And so what happens is He allows us to go through things to a place where He shows Himself as He's the only one that can be Lord and Savior. And he doesn't just lord over you, but He does it in a way that He shows you that He loves you and that you can totally depend on Him. And that's what God is wanting us to have a difference in the world, is not to depend on ourselves, not to depend on man, not to depend on the world, but depend on Him, because He's the only one that can give you the abundant life. In other words, He knows what you're looking for,
mm-hmm,
and He knows what you need.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But we have to go down and we have to go through various motions to get to the point where we're saying, you know what? I've tried everything else.
Amen.
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 Thank God He's given me enough grace.
That's right.
To try everything else. Now I'm trying God and I'm serious about God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we continue with what happened after Jesus saw this person's faith and worship and their request, in verse 3 he says, and Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was clean.
Mm.
Like I said, this ain't never happened before.
Mm.
So what this is saying is your relationship with God, amen, is unique.
Yes.
I'm going to say that again.
Personal.
Your relationship, our relationship with God is unique. In other words, your blessing is not my blessing,
amen,
and my blessing is not your blessing. God has an ear for your voice. He knows His children. He knows who you are. If you're ever a parent and you can be in the biggest room,
yeah,
and if you hear your child's cry,
yeah,
that's right,
you're going to know your child.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's the way it is with God. And your mother can know when you need your diaper changed. She knows when you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
She knows when you're hungry. Your daddy knows when you're in trouble. He knows all of these things just by your voice.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
That's the way it is with God.
Mm-hmm.
And if God knows your sincerity, God knows your faith, all He has to do is speak a word.
Hello.
Somebody didn't hear me.
Hello.
Right? All He has to do is speak a word or
mm-hmm
give you a taste, touch, late
right
in the midnight hour.
Yeah.
Come on.
According to your situation, according to your faith.
Yeah.
Amen? Right. And then you can walk away clean, healed, restored, resurrected. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you have that faith in God, he is able to hear you in spite of what everybody,
mm-hmm,
he's over there blessing all over the world. But He'll hear your call, and He'll touch, and He will heal, and He will bring you out. And a lot of times, it's an immediate blessing.
Amen.
And it might not be where the leprosy is gone, but whatever is tormenting you,
right,
whatever is worrying you,
right,
whatever is not bringing you peace,
mm-hmm,
you'll get that peace.
Yeah.
right there.
There's
Amen.
Nothing like the peace.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you'll get the peace that you may not have the situation change at the time, but the peace of the Lord lets you know it's going to change.
Amen.
And so guess what? You don't have to worry about it. You just let God handle it. Because you can't do anything about it anyway.
Amen.
So you could either worry and stress about something you can't control or turn it over to God and keep on moving.
Right.
And that's why praise is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says that God inherits the praise of his people. And so when you begin to, in the midst of your struggle,
that's right.
When you begin to start praising God, God is present because he inhabits what? The praise of his people. So
right.
When you begin to praise, God is present right now.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever your situation is, when you begin to open your mouth with praise, God was showing up on the scene.
Hello.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
But if you refuse to open your mouth and say, God, I'm going to worship you even in my leprous condition.
All right.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And if you will, you can. And he said, I will. And he touched the man or the woman, whoever it was, and their situation changed.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. It's about that faith and believing and trust.
Lord have mercy. You got to really look unto it. And then here's Jesus. Again, we were talking about people speaking without authority. And here Jesus, again, he's not coming to do his will or to destroy the law or to get out of the word of God. But here in verse 4, he says, and Jesus said unto him, see, thou tell no man. But go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for testimony unto them. So in other words, he didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. So he didn't want this to be a thing where people were going outside of the word of God. But he wanted them to follow what God's plan was so it can be fulfilled. He didn't say, all right, well, go and this is how I'm going to do it outside
mm-hmm.
of the law. He said, this is according to your faith, but so that everybody else can be okay with it, I want you to go to the priest because the law for the priest is you had to go show yourself, offer the birds, and you had to dip
mm-hmm.
in the water, and then he would declare you clean.
Amen.
In other words, he did it decently and in order.
Amen.
So that people that were around them could see the blessing and be okay with it. A lot of times people come into the church and when they have situations in their lives, we tend to want to go outside of that it was God that did it or it was the doctor or,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, you can go to the doctor can diagnose, the doctor can prescribe, the doctor can operate, but after he's diagnosed, after he's operated, after he's prescribed, we have to give the credit to God that he's the healer.
That's right.
Because you can go and get all your medical degrees you want.
Okay.
Amen. But it's God, amen, who heals. And so when he went to the priest, God's ordained order is the priesthood. He said, go through these steps, and then he would declare him clean. All in God's order.
Amen.
And so that's the problem we have a lot of times is that we don't want to go in the order that God has told us to go. And so what happens is we miss our blessing and because we're not going in the order that God wants us to go. And when you begin to start seeing this, or what Jesus was doing, he was fulfilling the word of God, but he wasn't superseding, you know, in his ministry as he was coming in contact with these people.
And as powerful as he is, he's showing humility.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So he wasn't trying to be puffed up.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And then that verse where it says, see thou tell no man.
Yeah, his humility. Like, it wasn't like, look what I did, even though he was all powerful.
Right.
Because he was still in his humanness, you know, with God wrapped up in human flesh. So he's like, I don't want you to see it, you know, until I want it still to be that this is part of what God is doing.
Amen.
Because it's what I've done. But goes hand in hand with what God has
right.
done. So still
it's,
ultimately
and people will see it as a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want to see it as a conflict.
Exactly.
So he said, you heal, but still go by what
and
the priest, what he given through Moses' commandment, the ritual that you had to go through to be declared clean.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't change the fact that you're clean. You
right.
But this is the order that we're doing things decently in order.
You know, a perfect analogy is sometimes when like you know somebody that's going to help you get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nowadays you have to apply online.
Yeah.
So someone will say, okay, yeah, give me your resume.
Yeah.
But you need to go apply online.
Exactly.
Or get the HR's desk. And once
right.
you get the HR's desk, then I can hand them.
Exactly.
mm-hmm. So you still have to get that same
right.
type of analogy that you got it.
Yeah.
Fine. But in order for
decent
in order by law.
Amen.
And, you know, so can't say we didn't look at everybody. You still got to go the normal course.
Because you know how black, you know how people are. if he would have did it and went and told a whole bunch of folks, they said, well, see, he's going against the law of Moses.
Yeah.
He's doing it this way. It's sort of like when you have a worship experience and you don't follow the program that's been printed up.
Look out,
mm-hmm.
man. Look out.
Amen. Well, that wasn't in the bulletin. That wasn't
not,
in the program.
Not decent in order.
That's why we got the program.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
You sound just like that man. Heard
that
story,
Billy. And I've had to tell them folk of old a long time ago, that program is just a guide. But if the Lord want to do something in the midst of the service, guess what? That program going in the trash,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to follow the Lord.
Amen.
And I don't care if nobody likes it or not.
Amen.
There was this old deacon that was sick on his deathbed, and we went to go visit him while he was sick on his deathbed. And he jumped on past Pastor G and said, I heard that... You deviated from the program.
I sure did.
He half breathing, barely breathing, like I'm barely breathing, and said, "I heard, but you know, the Lord says you got to do things decent and in order." I'm like, "We're coming over here to visit you. You on your deathbed, and you gonna fuss at somebody about
uh-huh.
what you heard, and you're not doing based off scripture, because when they would come in." Pastor you like that, he would always say, show me in the Bible.
Show me in the Bible.
He would just
so
stand on that. He would always just say, you show it to me in the Word,
no problem.
I'm good.
And so this is why when this happened, when he was healed like that, like I said, nobody had been cleared of leprosy at Miriam. So that's why he said, go to the priest. Go to the priest. So this would show people that this was done decent and in order. This is what was of God and is of God. And so he said he came to fulfill. He didn't came to do away with
mm-hmm.
it. And he said that heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of the word will pass away. He said it will stand forever. And so this is how we have to operate. We have to operate according to the will of God.
Right.
According to the word of God, according to the authority of God, according to his anointing. And when we begin to start doing that, now we have a relationship with God where we're so assured of what God can do that we can start testifying and saying, this is the same God. And if God did it for me,
mm-hmm.
he can do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we begin to start witnessing to people to tell them, hey, God is not a respecter of person.
Right.
He got enough blessing for you, me, and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to have this type of faith in
mm-hmm.
him. And when we have that faith, then you'll have a testimony that even in your most difficult time, that you're still going to trust God.
Amen.
And there's been some, oh, Lord have mercy, and Sheila G, you always talk about your past victories, your past blessings.
Yeah.
When you begin to start taking down those, remember the big Encyclopedia Britannica? See, God blesses you like that. And so what happens is you begin to start taking down them big volumes of the blessings that God has
that
blessed
God
you with.
God.
And when the enemy talking about you ain't getting blessed, you ain't getting out of this one, you say, well, let me take this volume down.
Back in
19 whatever, whatever,
mm-hmm.
back in 2000 whatever, whatever, when I was on my sick bed,
right,
when
yeah.
I had tubes in my nose,
yeah.
amen, and needles in my vein,
yeah.
when my lung collapsed and they
yeah.
had called the priest or whoever in, amen, and said I wasn't going to make it, amen, when I had more pills than what?
Money.
My car was broke down.
Come on.
And the heat was turned off.
The heat was turned off. And everybody else was laughing and shaking their head and wagging their tongues at me.
God made a way.
I'm still here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Might not be who you want me
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, he said to turn the phone off because every time you turn around, a bill collector was calling.
Come on now.
That God settled down to turn the heat on, put the lights on,
amen.
Put a little bit of money in the pocket,
amen.
Help get rid of the bills, and me on the straight and narrow.
And see, when you have that relationship with God, when the storm comes, he's like, oh, yeah, that's going to be a rough one.
Yeah.
But I know the God of the storm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while you're putting up your plywood,
amen,
uh-huh,
and your sandbags.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You know, that's right. You're putting it up and say, yeah, it's going to be a rough one.
Uh-huh.
But I know the God of the storm.
Amen.
And that's what's so awesome about God is when you have that relationship with him, you're not afraid to call the devil out. You're like, I know this is of the enemy.
All right.
Yeah.
But guess what? You ain't got a little power over this situation here. But my Father has not only power, but the authority. So you can bully me, but he's going to kick the bully to the curb. So
amen.
I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid to say, Satan, I see what you're trying to do. Get out of my way.
Amen. And there's a fellow that our father was named after, Brother James.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And James, he said to count it all joy.
That's right, when you fall into divers' temptation.
James says in his chapter, first chapter, verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy.
Mm-hmm.
When you, this is verse 2, James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers' temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith
worketh patience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah, we're gonna go to the studio audience, and we're gonna ask the question: have you had a life changing encounter with God? Have you had a life changing encounter with God, where there's nothing that can shake your faith because you know it was God and nobody else but God that brought you through?
Amen.
I'm here today. Every day, it doesn't have to be something, you know, crazy, but just every day driving on the beltway. But I just want to say, because I know this is not part of the question, but there's sometimes when I'm here in Bible study and there's always something that's said, and I listen, but I meditate on that one thing. Like, I just can't let it go because it relates to me. But my pastor said something that I've come a long way from. Pastor said, it bothers me sometimes when I see people who are doing well and they take it for granted. They come to church, but they're not really there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really worshiping like others. They're not really praising God like others. They're not genuine. They just go for show. But look at them and you think that they're doing well. But one thing that they don't have that we have is joy. And I struggled with that for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke to friends. They tell me, just because it looks like something.
Amen.
I think for me, it's just, you know, I think you get to the point where you realize, like, enough's enough.
Yeah.
I know a lot of times, you know, even just taking life situations, it's just like, you know, either two things are going to happen. Something's going to give, or you're going to have that moment where you're going to have a close call or something happens and then you realize you need to change. I think for the minor day-to-day things, you know, that's the easy part. It's easy to kind of change and tweak it. But, you know, most humans are scared and resistant to change.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of times what we have to realize is that God's going to get his message across. It's not necessarily if he's going to do it. It's just a matter of when he's going to get your attention.
That's right.
So I think a lot of times, too, one of the things I've always tried to pride myself on is being environmentally sensitive, because he may not show it to me directly.
Mm.
He may let me see you struggle, or he may let me see Pastor Gregory have a close call. And then I'm like, you know what, that could have been me, or I'm kind of in the same boat that he's in. So I think one thing we have to always do is don't wait necessarily to happen to you. Be kind of cognizant of your friends and the people you hang around and try to learn, because, you know, our parents have tried to teach us that.
Amen.
But we're going to go out in this world and we're going to try to live life and fall on our head, and you come back and be like, yeah, you know the thing you told me like 3-4 years ago?
I got a big knot on my head.
It kind of happened. So tell me how you say I was supposed to pray in this whole God thing. So I think the one thing we have to realize is that you can go out in the world and learn it, but always take the people who are in your circle and trying to give you advice and saying, look, I've been through it. You don't need to go through it. I'm telling you what somebody didn't tell me when I was that age. And then you have that knowledge and you can apply it, and then you can teach somebody else, like, look, I heard from this guy and I tried it myself.
Yeah.
It's not the way you want to go. So I think experience helps. But a lot of times, if you can avoid experiencing it to learn or for the light bulb to go off, take heed to it and listen. So I think in an extreme case, like I said, the main thing is be cognizant, always listen. As Jessenia said, kind of listen, hold on to it, and then kind of just let it marinate, let it kind of sink in, and then be like, okay, that's something I can use to apply on a day-to-day situation. That's what Pastor Gregory was talking about. I see it now, so before I go through the storm, let me deviate around it before I make decisions where next thing I know I'm engulfed in it. So I think the main thing is just, one, be cognizant of your surroundings. Always look for people who've been there and trying to give you advice, not trying to tell you how to live your life, but just saying, look, life's hard enough. A lot of people are alone on this journey, but anytime you have somebody that can give you advice or talk to you or give you some guidance, take heed to that, because I can tell you now, your parents aren't going to be here forever. Your friends come and go, and the only consistent thing you have, especially being a Christian, is God. So the one thing is this. He's put people around you to help you and show you the way. Utilize those tools as well as the Bible to help you out.
Amen. Oh, the word. Amen. What a word.
Good word.
What a word.
As James, in the first chapter, verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
All his ways.
And I can attest to that. Because I used to flirt on the fringes, even being saved or just doing enough just to go through the motion.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the times, and that's why I'm still here, because there's death and injury and things have used to be companions of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And still flirting on the edges.
Mm-hmm.
Of just doing enough just to say, okay, I'm saved and I love Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And as I look back on how I was so double-minded in that area, that God was still merciful.
Thank you, Jesus.
And even up until now. And I'm thankful that once there came a close, very close situation that really sobered my thinking up.
All right.
That now I have decided that it is no more double-mindedness in this. I am going all the way.
Amen.
And I have to go all the way.
Yeah.
And nobody or anything will deviate me from that right now.
Amen.
At this moment as I speak.
Amen.
Because I have no tolerance. Do you hear me? I have no tolerance.
Yeah.
If you try to cause me to jump the tracks.
All right.
And if you do, you and I will part ways.
Amen. Amen.
Seems like every day is sort of a life-changing moment for me now. I've had some, over the years, had some close calls. And one particular time, I remember real well, I thought I was dying, man. And I just want to say, first of all, thank God for prayer and for people who prayed for me. Because, you know, like I said, I thought I was dying. And the doctors had, you know, said they didn't have much hope. So, you know, but one person that have always, over the years, been in my life was Sister Jones.
Amen.
And that lady was so strong in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And she encouraged me. So,
yeah.
You know. And when I was supposed to have surgery the next morning, the big thing is I didn't have surgery. But she prayed, and we prayed together. And I stayed up all night long.
Mm-hmm.
Had a roommate who in the room with me was strong in prayer. And we stayed up all night long. And when I got up that next morning, I changed the mind.
Yeah.
Pastor came to the mm-hmm. when he got there, and the doctor says, let me do one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I wasn't tired or nothing, but God made that change.
Yeah.
They couldn't find nothing nowhere. It was gone. Okay. When they were telling me at first that it was real slim chances, and I was in so much pain that day before. Like I said, I felt like I was dying.
Yeah.
But that life-changing moment,
but God,
strengthened my faith.
Yeah.
And I have a closer walk with God.
Yeah. Yeah.
So nobody but God. He makes those changes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it draws you closer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was yeah.
I knew that's right.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to go to the phone line, and we thank everybody in the studio audience for the comments. We're going to go to the last four digits, 9772, and you can chime in.
What can I say? Everybody done said everything I could possibly say, that you got to know God for yourself. I couldn't speak for it, say no change of word for it. I've been close to that word. I say I'm dying, and somebody come along and put a prayer for me. I turn around and my eyes popped open, light shining in my eyes, and I said, no, I didn't die, so I must be all right. So I'm on the right track.
Amen.
So stay on the right track, and I'm following my feeling that God is with me, and I'm going to stick with the book that I've crossed the word of. He crossed the bullet, crossed the front of my face, and said, get on the right track, and I'm on the right track.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comments tonight. Lord have mercy. Are we going to go to the last four digits, 1741? 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
All I can say, God is a healer. He is my strength and he is my help. And as I get older every day, I grow closer to him. I begin to know who he is and to worship him, to truly love him. And I just love the journey with him. And he allowed me to see things, to walk into the nursing homes. It just has such a tremendous experience, and see people that look like they're in another world. But as God's word began to minister to them, with songs and prayer, it just brings them alive. That word of God comes alive in them. And God is a living God. He's a quickening God. And his Holy Spirit lives inside of people. And you can't hold it in. When you've been born of the Spirit, you have to testify of God's goodness. It's just something about it. You can't keep it inside of you. And I think about, I'm sitting here thinking about, because October, my mind go back, I think about many deaths that have happened, close family, sister and brother, and you know, family members, my mother, birthday today. I just think about death and being with them in their sickness and during their death, and how God allowed me to see how he moves in them. With so much aching and pain, but yet, hallelujah, the spirit was still alive. They still knew God. As much as they were hurting, as much pain they was in, God still let them be a testimony. So I thank God to be in the presence of, even with people that are dying and people that are going through sickness and distress, you can see the mighty hand of God moving. So I just praise God today and tonight for who he is and what he continued to be in my life. And I love him, and I thank him for this journey. I thank him for what he has done for me, because without him I could not make it. So I just trust him, and I'm believing in him, and greater things he's going to do in our life. We see the works that Jesus done here with healing the people and, you know, teaching and preaching. But he told us, he said, greater works than these.
Greater work.
We will do if we have the faith and trust him and believe in him. God will use us for his glory.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comments tonight. Man, powerful words tonight. And go on, last four digits, 1924. 1924, you on the air.
Good evening, everyone. How are you today?
Good evening. Blessed.
I think my life-changing moment was when I went back to God after being in the world, you know, forsaking his word, for turning my back on him. And he just, it was like he didn't even care. He just welcomed me back into his kingdom. And so I just really appreciate all that God has done in my life. And I just, he's just so awesome. He's just,
yes.
Sometimes there are no words to explain how great God is. And I just sit back and think, Lord, why did you even bother with me when I turn my back to you? And you still to this day blessing me. Every day you're blessing me, you're waking me up. You know, I don't have any medical concerns or sickness or anything like that. And I'm just so grateful that he loves me in spite of myself. So I think that was my life-changing experience, was the moment that he accepted me back into his kingdom.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to last four digits, 2598. 2598, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone. Just to answer the question, like, I'm not, I don't really have anything like life-altering, but I know that from the choices and the decisions that I've made in my life, that I know that God has kept me, because I know that I probably should have been dead, or I should have just been maybe not had the life that I have, but I thank God for his grace and his mercy that he's kept me. And, you know, sometimes when you're going through things, it's hard to really put a I can't say you forget about God, but it's very easy to focus on your circumstances and your situations or whatever it is that's troubling you, and you kind of forget. But like you said, sometimes you have to go back and think about everything that God has done for you to just bring you out of that funk and just go ahead and persevere on through life.
Amen.
Thank you for your comments tonight. All right, we're going to go to last four digits, 7348. You are on the air.
Good evening, everybody. My comment tonight, as far as life-changing circumstance, I can't pinpoint one specific example or one occurrence, but I can reflect on the goodness of God through my life. I know that I have not always done things that are pleasing to him, and I have not always done what he has required of me. But in the midst of it all, and in spite of all of that, he has continued to keep me, he has continued to lead me, and he has continued to bless me in spite of. And so he continues to show me that he is God all by himself. And so I can't pinpoint one specific moment. I am eternally grateful to the fact that in spite of ourselves, God loves us through everything that we do, because that's the kind of God that we serve.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to last four digits, 3494. 3494, you are on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Well.
How are you?
I actually had a life-changing moment in my life. There was a time when I wasn't sure if God existed. I wasn't living my life right. I was doing whatever I wanted, and I lost my job. I lost my car. I lost everything. I felt like I hit rock bottom. So the first place I turned, of course, was to God. And I grabbed the Bible. I opened it, and he spoke to me through the Bible, because as soon as I open it to Matthew, I believe it's chapter 6, and I read the title, and it said, "Do not worry." And I read the whole thing, and it was telling me, don't worry where my clothes are going to come from. Don't worry where my next meal is going to come from.
All right.
And, but seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. And I realized in that moment what I needed to do. And okay. From that moment on, I've been trying to live my life right. I've been becoming a Christian. I got baptized. I've been in the church as much as I am now. And I credit all of that to that one moment that I hit rock bottom and opened up my Bible. I know that I can never forsake him because he spoke to me. And now I use that testimony to help other people who don't feel like God is speaking to them or don't feel like he exists or don't feel like they're getting what they need out of it or they feel like their bad moments are because God doesn't exist. Like, I've actually literally helped people with my testimony. And
amen.
Amen.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you for your comment tonight. Amen. All right, we got go to 6326. You're on air. Last four digits.
Good evening.
6326. Good evening.
Good evening. So I've had many changes in my life, but God has had to stop me from doing my own thing. And there have been, you know, several challenges that have come up in my life that God has had to take my focus off of the challenge itself. And one being when I lost my job,
mm-hmm.
all I could do is thank God through the process because I knew I didn't do anything wrong. Had I done something wrong to lose my mm-hmm. job, then, of course, that would have been on my conscience. But grace be to God, he opened up the door for some other things to happen when I lost my job. And so I never lost the faith that he would take care of me and keep me. And so that was definitely a life-changing moment for me because I never lost a job. And to go through the motion of losing a job and then not having any income coming in, and I didn't let it stress me out. I knew that God
Amen.
Said in his word that he would keep me and he would provide.
Amen.
And he is my all in all. He has the world in his hands. And so I trusted him
Amen.
And let him lead the way from there. And I never lacked anything. And so that was definitely a life-changing moment for me.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. Wow. Some powerful comments.
Mm-hmm.
Sheila G., Dr. G., it pushes over our time frame. Dr. G, your final comments and closes out in prayer. Hot one tonight.
Amen. Well, you know, I was sitting here just thinking, and we have to realize that because God does know us, and when he wants you, when he has a plan for you, when he wants you to be about something, he's going to put more on you
mm-hmm.
than he would on the average person. And see, and we have to be mindful of who he is because it's easy for our focus to get off of him because we live in a world where technology runs wild right now and it's easy to get our focus off. But everything that we go through in life,
mm-hmm.
you know, as the sister said, you know, you take that as an opportunity, just like with the leper. He came to worship the Lord.
Amen.
And that's the way that we have to be. You know, we can't be so worried and upset about things that happen. I've lost jobs. I've gotten to the point now it becomes a thing that happens. But you can't lose your faith and you can't worry about stuff, and especially if you have the faith in God. Because God, all through his word, provides for his
yes,
children.
He does. Yes,
and
he
as
does.
Long as we believe that,
Amen.
God has got your back. So we thank the Lord for all of those comments, and we pray that as we continue to grow in the body of Christ, you know, those life-changing moments
mm-hmm.
are not going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
the Lord knows our destiny. He knows
Amen.
What we're going to be confronted with. And every so often, He's got to allow us to go through something to keep us on that straight and narrow path that we talked about the last couple of weeks, that path leading up. So we thank God for that, and we honor him for all of those comments tonight.
Amen.
And so we're going to ask that everyone would just bow your heads with us as we honor the Lord and pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, O God, again for another evening where we can spend some time with you. We count it not robbery to come where you are and to be a part of what you are. Lord, we thank you for your word. Mm. We thank you for the authority. We thank you for the power that's in this word.
Yeah.
And Lord, the world would be so much better if we would take the word at where it is and not try to add anything or take anything from it. Father, we pray right now that, that those that have called in and those that have come out tonight, Lord, that they've been blessed by the word.
Mm-hmm.
And we pray, oh God, that you would watch over us and take us safely back to our homes and find that no hurt, harm, or danger would befall.
Yeah.
And, oh God, whatever your will is on tomorrow, Father, we pray that you would lift us up out of our sleepy bed and prepare us for another day. And, Lord, when the devil does come knocking, give us strength enough and help us to endure and to rebuke him. For you said in your word that if we resist him, he will flee.
Yeah.
Father, we stand on that promise tonight.
Yeah.
And we claim all that is meant for us. We claim the victory.
Mm-hmm.
And we just ask it right now in the precious name. Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's going to do it for us tonight. Pray we'll see you all next Thursday night.
Good night.